Welcome back to TRP.
Yes, indeed. Welcome back to the Ross Lair podcast. This week, we would like to continue with an excerpt from the CD accompanying Jackie Hayden's wonderful book, A Map of Love. Read by Jim Park Nest for Flack Records. All rights reserved.
Dylan's Carmarthen roots. Dylan's ancestral roots were in Carmarthenshire, the county to the north-west of Swansea and the Gower Peninsula. The county's fine tradition as a well-speaking, chapel-going community and its attractive countryside and all the adventures it offered made a deep impact on the young Dylan. His ancestral links are concentrated mainly in a triangle formed by the villages of Llangynog, Llangain and Llansteffan, what the poet himself described as his breeding box valley. He spent much time in the area from his boyhood onwards, eventually ending his days in the seaside village of Larn, which we will talk about separately. Dylan's father was born in Johnstown near Carmarthen Town and met his future wife Florrie at a fair there. Florrie's parents came from farms in Llansteffan. Llansteffan is the setting for Dylan's A Visit to Grandpa's, and its pub, the Edwin's Ford Arms, was a favourite haunt of his, although it's since closed. When Dylan's father gave their house in Cwm Donkin Drive the name Glan Rhyd, he was creating a link back to the house Glan Rhyd y Gwiail, owned by his grandfather about a dozen miles from Carmarthen Town. In giving his son the second name Marlais, he must also have known of the stream of that name in the Coffey Valley. Many of Dylan's short stories, such as The Mouse and the Woman and A Visit to Grandpa's, were inspired by Carmarthenshire and his enjoyment of its natural surroundings. Although he once wrote to his lifelong friend Vernon Watkins that he was not a country man, some of these stirring stories feature the Jarvis Hills and Valley, fictional creations reflecting the area's landscape. There are so many of those stories, the tree, the enemies, a prospect of the sea, the visitor, and the Holy Six, to name just a few, as Dylan adapted South Wales for his creative writings, just as Thomas Hardy had created his Wessex from the south of England. Fern Hill is one of Dylan's most loved and oft-quoted poems, an exuberant expression of a child's delight in the world around him and in which he recalls being young and easy under the apple boughs. It was inspired by a real place of that name close to Llangain, a modest village between Llansteffan and Carmarthen. The Fern Hill House was built in 1723 and the farm was owned by Dylan's Aunt Annie, with whom he shared a mutual love. The young Dylan enjoyed many school holidays here with Annie and his Uncle Jim, exploring the surroundings, enjoying fishing and other adventures. The place had once been owned by the former hangman Robert Evans, a fact that no doubt appealed to Dylan's often macabre imagination, as much the juicy rumour that Evans had inserted bars in the lower windows to stop his daughter escaping to meet her boyfriend. Fernhill also features as the setting for The Peaches, which also mentions Annie, whose death in 1933 inspired the poem After the Funeral, in memory of Anne Jones. Introducing his reading of it for BBC Radio, Dylan said it was his only poem specifically about the life and death of a particular person he knew. In it, Dylan describes the front room of the house, including its stuffed fox and stale fern, and refers to Humped Anne. Anne is buried close by in Llanabri, and some speculate that the spire referred to in the poem, The Spire Cranes, could have been the ruined tower of the church there. From here you can see the boathouse in Larn, from where Dylan in turn also had sight of the same spires, two places that were very dear to him, linked by an invisible connection. Dylan's mother's folks came from Llangain, and her brother Tom owned a stone cottage called Blaen Cwm. Dylan stayed there regularly from an early age, visiting various family members, including his Aunt Anne, after she moved here from Fernhill, as well as his Uncle David Rees and Aunt Theodosia. It is generally accepted that it was in Blaen Cwm that he completed Fernhill. While there, he also wrote some of the poems which were published in his collection, 18 Poems, in 1934. One of them was Before I Knocked, and its reference to the water that shaped the Jordan near my home can be connected to the belief of a local farmer that the stream that ran by his cottage consisted of Jordan water. In the beginning, and My Hero Bears His Nerves were also written in Llangain. After Dylan's Aunt Theodosia and Uncle David died, his parents moved to live in Blaen Cwm. And Dylan and Caitlin came to stay with him in the mid-40s. Dylan also stayed with his father here while Florence was in hospital. While living in Larn, he often visited Carmarthen Town for shopping or the cinema with Caitlin. He liked the Boar's Head pub, although they were once asked to leave because their son Llewellyn was being a nuisance. The area was of such deep importance to Dylan that when the photographer Rowley McKenna came to Larn, they travelled with Florence to various places in Carmarthenshire, including Fernhill, especially to pose for her. These illuminating photos, as well as others of family members, friends and places associated with the poet, were later published in her book Portrait of Dylan. That book alone shows the extent to which the area was dear to Dylan's heart and played such an influential role in his art. New Quay, an interlude in West Wales. The 2008 film The Edge of Love, starring Matthew Rhys as Dylan Thomas, focused on a serious incident that occurred when Dylan was staying in the West Wales seaside town of New Quay. The same interlude in the poet's life was also dramatised in the play Badgers in My Vest, by John Fletcher. But before they moved to New Quay, Dylan and Caitlin had resided in other places not far away. In 1941, they lived in Plas Gelli at Talsarn. Dylan particularly liked the Iron Valley around Talsarn, describing it as the most precious place in the world, and its River Iron gave their daughter her name. While at Talsarn, the poet occasionally stayed at the Castle Hotel in Lampeter, whose landlord Edward Evans he found to his liking. The Thomases also stayed in Talgarreg, inland from New Quay, for a short spell in 1942. Talgarreg was the home of Dewi Emrys, one of Wales's most respected bards. In 1944, shortly after their second child, Eironwy, was born, they came to New Quay on the coast and stayed for little more than a year in a small timber and asbestos bungalow called Majoda, located a short walk from the picturesque town. Now long gone, the bungalow was recreated in a nearby field for the film The Edge of Love. When it was still standing, Majoda was located in an area Dylan had first visited with the painter Augustus John. By no means averse to local attractions such as the Black Lion, Dylan had relocated his family to this attractive town partly to avoid a war that he loathed. The bungalow had marvellous views of the sea and gave them access to a beach and a town with enough pubs and people. It was an ideal retreat for him, and a productive one in terms of his creative output, as he composed several poems here that found their way into his next collection, Deaths and Entrances. He is believed to have derived much inspiration from the town he described as a cliff-perched town at the far end of Wales. But the incident on which the film The Edge of Love is based involved Dylan Caitlin, a neighbouring friend Vera Killick, and her overwrought husband William, who had just returned from active service with the British Army in Greece. Killick took exception to his wife consorting with the Thomases, possibly even suspecting that Vera was having a relationship with Dylan, whom she'd known from Swansea. One day, while Dylan was entertaining some film industry friends in the commercial pub in New Quay, Killick verbally abused Dylan and his companions over their non-combative attitude to war. This was in some ways unfair, as Dylan had been declared unfit for service and had written film scripts that were part of the Ministry of Information's war effort, although Killick probably knew nothing of this. Nor would Killick have known how World War I had impacted on Dylan's poems, such as I Dreamed My Genesis, or that in 1936 he'd published The Hand That Signed the Paper, now regarded as a classic anti-war poem. Later that evening, Dylan and Killick's paths crossed again at the Black Lion, when a more aggressive confrontation ensued, resulting in Killick striking Dylan's female friend Fania Fisher. Soon after Dylan and his friends had retired to Majoda, Killick arrived there too and set about attacking the bungalow with a machine gun and a grenade. Fortunately, his raid was unsuccessful. Dylan allegedly disarmed him in heroic style, and little damage was done, apart from some bullet holes in the walls. Killick was subsequently charged with attempted murder, and Dylan gave evidence at Lampeter Assizes. The soldier was acquitted, and there were suggestions that he was unstable at the time. To avoid the distraction of holidaying children, Dylan often removed himself to a room near Majoda, where he worked on such compositions as A Refusal to Mourn the Death of a Child. This room, called the Apple House, was part of the estate of Plas Llanina, owned by Lord Howard de Walden. He generously permitted Dylan to use it as a writing room, a precursor to Dylan's writing shed in Larne. While Majorda is gone, the Apple House is still standing. Along the lane is Ffynnon Feddyg, the house then occupied by the Killicks, and close to St. Ina's Church, which Dylan and Caitlin passed on their occasional walks. While at Majorda, Dylan also took the time to visit the pubs in Llangeitho, Llanon and Llangrannog. Caitlin said that this side of the truth was composed here for their son Llywelyn. Indeed, Dylan did some of his best writing during his stay in Majorda, including the descriptive Quite Early One Morning, a forerunner to Undermilk Wood that refers to the Black Lion as a pink-washed pub. Dylan and Caitlin could stroll from Majorda into New Quay through the since-eroded Bron Gwyn Lane, a popular spot for courting couples, not unlike Gwsgog Lane in Undermilk Wood. Along the lane was Maes Gwyn Farm, and the poet mentions Maes Gwyn in the early part of Undermilk Wood when the fifth drowned character asks, "Who milks the cows in Maes Gwyn?" Close to New Quay Harbour is London House, once a shop and the home of Norman Evans, said to be the basis for No Good Boyo in Undermilk Wood. In Church Street is the Dolai, a pub claimed as a favourite of Caitlin's, and it's close to the Blue Bell pub where Dylan drank with actor Richard Burton. Further up Glanmore Terrace is the Hungry Trout, on the site of the post office from which Dylan posted his work to London. The postman then was Jack Lloyd, the alleged inspiration for Willy Nilly. Further along is the Black Lion, then owned by Dylan's friend Jack Pat. It later had a fascinating display of photos and souvenirs of Dylan. On the other side of the road is Gomer House, the home of Captain Tom Polly, possibly the original Captain Cat. By the top of the hill is the Seahorse Inn, once known as the Sailor's Home Arms, a fact that prompted its claim as the original of Undermilk Wood Sailor's Arms. The minister of the nearby Towin Chapel was a poet and preacher, and himself the father of two noted poets, and he may have inspired the Reverend Eli Jenkins character. A tree-clad lane leads to Wendowell, the home of Dylan's aunt Elizabeth Williams and his cousin Theodosia Legg, whom he had called on in the 30s. In George Street, beside Bethel Chapel, was a house called Arnant, a cobbler's, where Dylan enjoyed many a chat, and near to it was Manchester House, then a draper's like the one in Undermilk Wood, although a house of the same name in Larne could make a similar comparison. The accumulation of these links has led to claims that New Quay was the inspired location for Undermilk Wood, but it's more likely that several of the places Dylan visited or lived in fed his fevered imagination to make one composite magical creation. It's highly unlikely that we will ever know for certain, but in the meantime, there's much fun to be had weighing up the claims of various towns as the basis for Llaregib, especially New Quay.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to the Ross Lair Podcast. Please tune in again for another episode.